The Culture Proof Podcast thanks BJU Press Homeschool, our premier sponsor. We are super excited about biblical worldview woven into every subject that we teach. We are also excited about the BJU Press Homeschool secret sauce. I'm talking about the homeschool consultants who are spread all across the country, who once you purchase your curriculum, don't leave you to figure it out by yourself. They are there for you and with you on your homeschooling journey. I cannot recommend more highly BJU Press Homeschool, that comes equipped with homeschooling consultants who are praying for you, who are walking alongside you as you disciple and train your kids and ready them to live in a culture that is hostile to truth. Visit our friends today at BJUPressHomeschool.com. That's BJUPressHomeschool.com. Tell them that the Addison sent you. Thanks for checking out Culture Proof. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And today we are discussing whether or not religion has lost its influence in public life. And even as we record this podcast, you know, we're looking at the news headlines that the rapper Sean Combs has had two of his homes raided and, you know, in connection with sex trafficking allegations. And, you know, again, we're asking the question, has religion lost its influence in public life? Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I mean, it's not just that, you know, we kind of started talking about this yesterday, but took a little bit of a turn and went toward talking about revival. But, you know, you can see the decline in our country everywhere you look. And I believe, and again, you know, want to be careful because, you know, breaking news story and
brand new, you don't have all
you don't have all of the information,
right?
You know, and that is a fact. You don't have all the information, but I know that at least I feel confident in saying that, you know, Homeland Security doesn't come to your house because you don't return your grocery cart to the grocery cart,
right?
You know, bin or whatever you call it. And so I don't know. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds, especially because of the information that, you know, in other areas, even in the Christian community, you've got some connections to this rapper, Sean Combs, and, you know, which should never be, you know what I mean? It should never be. It's interesting to hear Christians come out and say, yeah, I've been a part of some of those parties. Like, why? Why have you been a part of the rapper P. Diddy's parties? Or, you know, like, I don't understand that. And that, you know, okay, that's a discussion for when more information is revealed. But anyway, I think this all reflects the decline and the depravity of the human heart. You know, it's what's interesting to me. I will say this, even as we're watching and reading the news headlines and trying, everyone is trying to understand, you know, what happened today. When you see such, you know, an organized and planned raid, you know, people are thinking like, man, what is it? I mean, it's not, we have to say allegation, right? But it's more than just a suspicion. When you raid, you know, two homes, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On two different coasts.
Right.
All right. You're in Los Angeles and then Miami. Florida, you know, there's something going on there. And I think it really does reveal a lot of the immorality that we just turn a blind eye to, you know, but that is just rampant in our culture. It's everywhere. And, you know, anyway, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this. But that's not what we wanted to talk about on this podcast. OK, what we wanted to talk about on this podcast was some new Pew information that's out that suggests that majority of Americans say that religion is losing its influence in public life. And I asked you yesterday what you thought about that. And it seemed like you agreed with it.
I did agree with it because I think it's evident that you can see that there's been a decline. You can see that there's been a moving away from the things of God, you know, and society is less and less religious, you know. So I think it's evident. And just when you go out and you view and look at daily life and what's going on, that there is a clear decline from years ago, you know, and you can see it, you can track it. So, yes, I would agree with that.
Well, let's look at the numbers and see what Pew found. This is a Christian Post article from a few days ago. It says most American adults say religion is losing influence in public life, and many are not happy about it. A new study from the Pew Research Center has found this information. The findings of the study conducted February 13th through the 25th among a nationally representative sample of 12,693 U.S. adults found that adults in many ways yearn for the positive impact traditionally associated with religion. That's really interesting, right?
That is interesting.
That's what people want from religion.
But they don't want God.
No.
So they want the results of godliness and what it would mean for a nation and things like that, and for probably for them, you know, but without God.
Yes, yes. and so, to the point that you just made, it's what we want are the things that make us comfortable. Mm. You know what I mean? And so if there's a positive impact to be experienced through religion, taking a, you know, taking an upfront role in our society, then we'll take that. Mm. But when you start telling me how to live or telling me that something is required of me, namely holiness, then you can keep that.
I don't want that.
You know what I mean? Back to this article. Many, however, including non-religious Americans, feel what they believe or do not believe puts them in conflict with mainstream culture. Now, that's interesting how this breaks down. And when you look at the different numbers coming from the different representative groups, it's interesting how people perceive themselves to be almost sort of like a religious minority, or their desires are the minority in culture. And so I kind of want to, you know, unpack this and then have just a little more conversation around it. Overall, there are widespread signs of unease with religion's trajectory in American life. This is according to what they found in this survey. This dissatisfaction is not just among religious Americans. Rather, many religious and non-religious Americans say they feel their religious beliefs put them at odds with mainstream culture. That's very interesting, with people around them and with other sides of the political spectrum. This is according to Pew Research. The study provides a clear statement from the public on how they want to engage with faith in the public sphere. It comes on the heels of a recent Infinity Concepts report based on responses from over 1,000 evangelical Protestants, which found that a majority of evangelicals only agree on just two issues that the church and their leaders should be very involved in when it comes to public life. Only two issues. And I'm going to tell you why this is important. And those two issues, by the way, abortion and what is acceptable in public expressions of faith. So evangelicals believe that there are only really two issues that the church or that religion should come to bear on: abortion and what is publicly acceptable in the expression of our faith. Now, why do I think that's important? Because while we're having a conversation about whether or not religion is losing its influence in American culture and American society, even Christians or even evangelicals are saying that, you know, really, we don't need widespread influence of religion in our society. And I think, you know, maybe it's important for us at this point, too, to discuss what we think when we say religion. I think we think Christianity, don't we?
Immediately. And but you know, to some people, I think Christianity, but it can mean something totally different to other people.
Yeah.
You know, it's whatever they give their time and their dedication to, that they do on a regular basis, that they adhere to, whatever tenets. But when I think of religion, I think of Christianity.
Yeah, so I think most people would.
That's what we're talking
about. At the very least, it would seem that those who are speaking about religious influence, that they are talking about some type of external moral absolute. I want to say absolute, but maybe they wouldn't say that. Maybe that's too, you know, restricting. But it seems that at some point what they are lamenting is the loss of a collective moral presentation that the society has experience this grand slide. And by the way, we're going to talk about some recent headlines that kind of make this point. But back to this article, Pew researchers found that 80% of U.S. adults say religion's role in American life is shrinking. Religion's role in American life is shrinking, which is as high as the sentiment has ever been in previous surveys. 80%. Religion's role is shrinking in American life. Most Americans who say religion's role is shrinking aren't happy with religion's trajectory. 49% of U.S. adults overall say it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. This is, again, very interesting. Another 8% who said they thought religion's influence is growing called it a good thing. Who are those people?
Like, yeah, what are they seeing that I can't see?
Who are the 8% that are saying, no, religion's influence is growing in America?
I don't know.
The question would be, how are they defining religion?
Right. That's a big question. That's a major question. But I would think this makes sense in the sense of if we're saying religion is something that contains a absolute, you know, type of truth or, you know, or something that you would abide by and say, like, these are, then I could see it shrinking because our culture is like there's no absolutes.
Right.
So it would make sense that, you know, anything associated with this is what I believe, this is an absolute truth, would be shrinking because everything else in the culture is crying out, no such thing as absolute truth.
Yeah, you know? It's the Muppet Babies. Let's get rid of that old royal handbook.
Right, right.
Yeah, we don't want anybody telling us what to do. We'll make our new rules and they'll be better because they'll be more inclusive and people will get to do what they want. There won't be someone outside of them telling them what is or isn't acceptable.
But it seems like the benefits of religion are still wanted, even without the wanting of absolute truth. Like there's something about, and I'm saying Christianity, that, you know, is appealing.
Yeah.
That it's like, man, things are better when... But we just don't want God, you know, but we want the things that he can give.
Man, that's interesting because when you said that, I just thought like, okay, but that's prosperity gospel. Like what you just said is prosperity gospel. Like, you know, we want the positive effects of religion in this sense, Christ, which we would say is synonymous to like blessings and, you know, prosperity. And, you know, laying claim to all of the things that are yours, reaching up and grabbing them and pulling them down. But we don't want holiness.
And I think that would be accurate to say that that's, you know, what people would want, you know, because I think there's a sense of wanting wealth and and security and the things that I would say the prosperity gospel, you know, promotes, you know. So even though they may not say we want a prosperity gospel, I think that's the general feel of what is wanted, but not, we want the things, but not really God, not all that, you know, structure and strictness of, you know.
I think that's the position of, according to Pew, 57% of Americans say that the influence of religion in society is a good thing. I think that's probably a lot of people that would be in that 57%. It's the good effects of religion.
Yeah, I
don't know. And I don't want to be cynical, but I don't believe that 57%, which I consider to be a pretty high number for a country that is in rebellious decline. You know what I mean? I think 57% is a pretty high number. People who think that religious influence in society is a good thing. So that leads me to believe, just based on how we operate in this country, it leads me to believe that the religious influence that people are talking about or that they miss is not the conviction of holiness as much as it is, you know, people were just good. You know, you remember people just did the right thing, you know. But no, could live their free best life now.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
I think that's exactly what we're seeing here.
Yeah. So back to this article, it says some 48% of U.S. adults said that there's a great deal of or some conflict between their religious beliefs and mainstream American culture, which is an increase from 42% as recently as 2020. Now, I want to talk about this. Would you be in the category of the person who says there's a great deal or there's some conflict between my religious beliefs and mainstream American culture?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Squarely in that category.
100%. Like,
you know, there are certain things that are, and look, praise God for America.
Yeah.
You know, but there's some things that are American culture that are opposite to what we know to be true in the kingdom of God or in Christianity, you know. And so I would say I get that, and I would be a person that would be in that. You know, just I think, you know, even we've talked about this before, you know, just the sense of by my own bootstraps and this, you know, just this whole type of independence, which there's a form of that as, yes, independence, right. You know, but in relationship with God, it's dependence.
That's
on
right.
Him.
Always.
You know,
always.
That is the feature of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Now, American culture is, you know, independence. I don't need anyone. We're going to do this on our own, strengthen, you know, that type of thing. But that's the opposite of what we do in the kingdom of God.
Are you looking for something fun and impactful for your kids to participate in this summer? Maybe you will allow them to join us and our family for a week in North Carolina at The Refuge. This is in Aiden, North Carolina. For one entire week, we and our family and a bunch of teenagers.
And mayflies.
And mayflies who all love Jesus. We don't know if the mayflies love Jesus, but the kids certainly love Jesus. We're going to be teaching biblical worldview. Yes. This is a week intensive of equipping and training kids to defend the truth of what they believe and to be able to stand boldly in a culture that is hostile to that truth. You can learn more by going to ncrefuge.org. That's ncrefuge.org. July 21st through the 26th, you have the opportunity to join us and our entire family for a week of culture proofing.
Yes, it's going to be fun. It's going to be intensive. It's going to be great. It's going to be some memories that they're going to be able to take back home with them. So sign your child up now.
Yeah, and because God is merciful, I think that sentiment and the Lord has borne with us for a very long time, you know, being patient and, you know, long suffering with us. But I think that sentiment is what has, I think, led to the Lord allowing for there to be this pronounced separation between this nation and his people. You know what I mean? Because because the nation, America, as a nation, is not God's people, right? Only God's people are God's people.
Amen.
And so what we are seeing when we say that we exist in this tension, that, you know, we believe that our culture, our society is hostile or that there's a conflict between the larger mainstream culture and our religious conviction, our religious beliefs. I think it's a good thing that God has allowed for that to become more pronounced, because I think what people would start to say is, man, I live in a country that has moved away from me. You know what I mean? And where we once had some common underpinnings, we once had some things that we could all collectively fall back on and say that this is absolutely right or that is absolutely wrong. We don't share those things anymore. We cannot have a civil conversation. And what I think is worse than seeing this reflected in American society is that it is also reflected in the Christian community, which we are supposed to have a moat. Is that what's around castles castle. And everything, the water that stops? Okay. So I feel like for Christianity, the word of God is like the moat. It is what stops, you know, the enemy getting in, because you say, well, you can't get in, okay, unless you come through the word, like unless, and everything is checked out and we all agree.
Right.
But our churches have gotten rid of the word of God as the final authority, thereby, for this illustration, getting rid of the moat, right? Which gives the enemy full access to the body of Christ. And this is tragic, right? Yeah. This has been tragic. And so I think when you say, yes, American society is in conflict with our religious conviction, but I think a lot of our churches are also in conflict with our religious conviction. And that being because they have moved away from the authority of scripture.
Yeah, I think you're right about that as well. You know, that's what happens when you move away from the authority of scripture. You begin to fall back, you know, from the design and the way that God has created things and made things to be. Mm-hmm. And so I think we are seeing that in the church, and it's evident. Yeah. It's evident in the weakness, you know, of the church, that there's been a moving away, and even more of a given towards more things of the world, like mm-hmm. bringing that stuff in, you know, and kind of pushing out what the word says.
Yeah.
You know, no, we need more of this relevance and this and that, mm-hmm. you know, no, I know the word says this, but you wow. know, we're in a different time right now, and different times you got to do, you know, so that is happening. And I think, you know, when there's a moving away from the word, you do get what we see happening now.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting the way that Americans, at least according to this Pew survey, it's interesting how Americans, depending on their particular political persuasion, whether or not they identify themselves as conservative or liberal, mm-hmm. it's interesting to see how they believe themselves to be persecuted is too strong a word. They believe that they are under attack in American society. And so let me just kind of give you some of these numbers here. So among religiously unaffiliated adults, those who identify religiously as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, that's 72%, say that conservative Christians have gone too far in trying to control religion in the government and public schools. While 63% of Christians say the same thing about secular liberals. So more of the liberals, the religiously unaffiliated, okay, higher percentage, mm-hmm. say that the Christians are going too far in trying to control public life, mm-hmm. okay, versus the Christians, 63%, say that the secular liberals are going too far and trying to control public life. So it's interesting because the liberals or the religiously unaffiliated are blind.
Yeah.
And the Christians don't have discernment. So man. It's, you know, I mean, both are problematic right. in my opinion,
right.
because when you look at it, it is clear to me, it is clear to me that we live in a secularized society.
Yeah.
You know, I can't see any place where, you know, we have retained the sacredness of the Christian conviction that I think made our nation great and, yeah. and made our nation stand out in the
world.
And
that's sad because the place that we should be able to see that is in our churches.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and in our homes, mm-hmm. you know, as Christians, that's, you know, that's the place where we should where it should remain. But as it stands, we've allowed the walls to be breached.
Yes.
by the world, you know, therefore receiving things of the world and looking more like the world instead yeah. of being distinct and saying, okay, here is where the standard of God still rests and lies. And you, if you want that, you can see it here.
Yeah.
When they peer into the church, they see the world.
So what happens when we look at that, when we say, you know, again, the place that's supposed to be salt mm-hmm. and the place that's supposed to be light. I just got a picture when you were talking, you know, the stained glass windows, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? The stains were supposed to just be on the windows.
Right. Not on the people.
Not on the people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think some people went too far. but it shows, I envision as you're talking, I can mm-hmm. see a people who have been stained by this world. Mm-hmm. When our brother James told us to keep ourselves from that,
yeah.
you know, to keep ourselves from being stained by this world. So I guess what I wonder is when we say, you know, the religious influence in our society is waning, how are Christians to live in light of that? Like that's the question. What are we to do? Not only in American society, which may be a bit of an easier answer to give, but how do we do that in our churches? What do we do when we start to see the authoritative word of God, you know, treated with disdain, ignored in total, rewritten, you know, re-expounded on in ways that are unfamiliar to us. You know, people, well, let me just tell you what this is saying. And they're flatly wrong you know, what are we as Christians to do in light of that?
Yeah, I think we have to get back to the main things. Like, so if there is a departure from the word that causes this, you know, we need to come back to the word. Yeah. We need to have a Josiah moment, you know, where it's like, oh, the law, the book of the law.
Amen.
You know, there has to be discipleship that happens. You know, we have to look at our homes and say, man, how can I raise up this next generation of children not to fall prey to what's happening, you know, in my generation right now?
Yeah.
You know, so it has to be a turnaround back to the things that really matter. Mm. The word of God being preached in the pulpits, not gimmicky sermons and things like that, you know, things to just appease the flesh. Mm-hmm. It has to be a focus on discipleship and, man, raising up people that will raise up other people to serve the Lord. And, you know, and it has to be, man, just a taking back of the home as well. And seeing the long game that our children, you know, Lord willing, they're going to outlive us and they're going to have, they're going to live in their generation. They're going to be adults. We want them to stand.
Yes.
And so I think it has to be a refocusing on the main things.
You've always talked about the long game. Mm-hmm. You have always talked about that. Like, I feel like for years you have lamented the lack of a strategic approach to discipleship. You know, that we don't understand the generational effect of what we do right now. But you say, and man, I see it more and more, you know, as the years have gone by, you have said the world understands this. They know how to make small incremental gains on their way to the big wins. And they'll take it. They'll even take losses because they believe that they're falling forward, you know. But we are just so busy and too dull to recognize what's going on. So to the point that you just made, it sounds like what you're saying is that we've got to fortify our churches. We've got to return to the authority of God's word and live out what we see there. So that's us standing firm in the context of the church, right? And the confidence that we have that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I mean, over and over and over, you see the Lord can be trusted, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen. Just read a little bit of church history and it will encourage you. It will encourage you, because if Christianity were just a social club or just a quote unquote national, you know, faith, it would have been stamped out centuries ago. But because this is the church of the living God, because this is the bride of Christ, and his promise to us is that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, we have received the gospel.
Amen.
And praise the Lord, we have received it intact. And that should be what motivates our fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That we got the ardent faith, and why would we want to hand down to our children, or to imagine that our grandchildren would receive something other than what we received?
Yeah, definitely. The long game. Discipleship is the long game.
Yeah.
Think about it. That's how we got to where we are today. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we have the gospel because someone passed it down. And so I think we have to think beyond where we are as parents. You know, we can't be like, you know, King Hezekiah when when Isaiah came to him and said, hey, this is going to happen to you. Your seed is going to, you know, be captive. And we can't say, well, at least not happening in my day. We got to think ahead. You know, we got to think about our children and our children's children. The Bible talks about that, even as it pertains to inheritance and things like that. So as it pertains to the godliness and the legacy and what we're standing for, you know, we have to think long term beyond us. You know, what will my great, great grandchildren, you know, will they have the ardent faith?
Yes.
You know, and the thing is, you know, we'll be long gone, but that lives on. That's what counts.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
That's what really counts. And so I think we have to think that way, because the faith is that way. You know, we can look back over all those years and years, but we see where we are now. It's a culmination of, like, discipleship happening all across, you know, the generations.
That's right. That's right.
And so we have to think in that way.
Man, I'm reminded of something that I saw just yesterday. And that is a book. I was at a bookstore with our little three and Gabby. And we're going through the bookstore and we're looking at the books that are on the shelves. And sometimes I will just peruse what, you know, what people are reading, mm-hmm. because sometimes what's prominent, like, you know, what's on the bookshelves right. today. And when you talk about the long game and understanding that discipleship is the long game. And I think that's so perfectly worded. Discipleship is the long game, which makes sense because that's what Jesus called us to. Make disciples. Mm-hmm. Like, he called us to the long game, right? And so that's discipleship good. Really is the long game. It's yep. the transgenerational long game, yes. discipleship is.
It is.
And when we understand that, we would see how vital it is for us to disciple our children and not be guilty of, you know, babysitting them when we are supposed to be equipping them, lulling them to sleep when we're supposed to see them awaken to the things of God and stirred. But anyway, I digress. The point is, I was in the bookstore and I saw a book that just jolted me, and so much so that I took a picture of it because I thought, oh, wow, it was Zodiac for Babies. Zodiac Signs for Babies. And I thought, you know, just to the point that you're making here, that's playing the long game.
Mm-hmm.
That's playing the long game, right. because if you can introduce
starting them off as a baby.
This as normalcy,
right?
Like that you would say to parents, you need to start, you know, exploring your baby's yeah. zodiac sign.
Yeah.
And then I pick the book up and I start, you know, flipping through, and it's got all of these sections on, you know, what these signs mean and what you ought to do with your child as a result of these signs. And I just thought, this is so wicked.
Yeah.
This is so wicked. But again,
yeah, I mean,
this is where we live.
This is the main reason why you have those agendas in the cartoons.
Yeah.
Because these people understand the long game.
Yeah.
They're trying to normalize stuff for the future. They're like, they want, you know, your child to grow up thinking, oh, this is just the way that it is. Mm-hmm. You know, they're thinking future. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we think right now, oh, man, we got to, you know. Man, but what about, you know, thinking ahead, asking yes. the Lord to help us to disciple in such a way that, man, it's going to have effects long term, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think the world does get that. And mm-hmm. like, well, we're going to invest in the children now. We're going to do with the kids now because we're expecting them to grow in what we're teaching them.
Yes, yes. And they should be they expect that. Us to die out.
Exactly.
Like, we will die off. And because they have invested in our children very early on, they will then reap the harvest of that mm-hmm, investment mm-hmm. and we will be gone. And it is such a wicked thought, right? But it really is Satan's counterfeit discipleship,
mm-hmm.
right? It is his counterfeit training mm-hmm. to woo our children away from the faith. And so, right. man, we've got to, I think it's perfectly worded the way you said it. Discipleship is the long game. As mm-hmm. we look at, you know, questions of whether or not, you know, religious influence is waning, have we lost the collective morality, you know, predominantly that we once enjoyed in this country. If there's going to be a remedy to that, then it's going to be the making of disciples.
Yeah.
It's going to be the making of transformed lives who transform culture.
Mm.
And that can only happen through the introduction of the gospel Amen. And discipleship, Amen. Right?
Amen.
Children who are saved and who learn how to live that out now that they are saved.
Amen.
It's not going to be through political coups. It's not going to be through, you know, oh my goodness, you know, this came out of nowhere. We can't believe this. What a stunning victory. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be through that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even going to be cleaning out all of our public libraries. Although I think that is a noble cause. Mm-hmm. I think we should endeavor to protect our children.
Yeah.
And again, all of these things we can do, right? All of these things and, should be happening.
And have done mm-hmm. in the past. Like, there's been stunning victories and people thought
yes.
this person couldn't win. And there have been moves to, you know, but look. At the overall where it has gotten
yeah,
us. Like
yeah.
it hasn't really solved Good grief. The problem.
No, you know? That's so true.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is such a great point.
Yeah.
Right? Because I mean, man, that is such a great point. We have had, you know, these like, you know, I don't know what, like a flicker of hope
mm-hmm.
that maybe we could see a nation turn about mm-hmm. Because we've had these stunning victories
mm-hmm.
and we've had these books pulled from shelves
mm-hmm.
and we've had parents show up at their local school board and, you know, so to speak, turn it upside down and say, no, not our kids and right. not on our watch. And I think all of those things give us a false sense of security in our human effort.
Right.
But really, if we're honest, it's like, you know, it's like driving a big, huge automobile and, you know, putting, you know, $3 of gas in it.
Yeah.
And then you get to the corner and you can't even turn around and go back and get more because that's it. It's over. I think that's what those victories kind of feel like.
Yeah.
So I think we should continue to stand up and fight. And Amen. And because don't hear me saying that we shouldn't fight. And let me tell you why. In the history of our faith, we have had fighters. We have had brothers and sisters who collectively stood up in their culture, not necessarily to be activists, but to protect the truth that they had received. Mm. So that meant that they engaged differently. That meant that they went and rescued the babies who were exposed and unwanted.
Yeah.
You know, that meant that they didn't attend, you know, the barbaric games where men fight to the death. Christians stood up and lived differently.
Yeah.
That means that they didn't treat their slaves as if they were not people. Mm-hmm. That means that even though Roman society had, you know, their hierarchies and that was important to Roman structure and Roman society, the Christians said, we don't have that in the family of God, right?
Amen.
So I'm not saying that we don't do the things outwardly. We must do the things outwardly. We should stand up and be salt and light and show the world that there is a different way to live. And we are living this way. We are living this way not to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
We are living this way because we truly have encountered Christ and we've been transformed. However, in the midst of doing all of those things, those are active things, right? Those are active things. We must make disciples. We must make disciples. So if I can, you know, pull 1,000 books that would harm children from my public library, but I fail to disciple my children, then I have failed because the long game is discipleship.
Amen.
The long game is discipleship. If you disciple your children, if you do that faithfully and wholeheartedly, then that might mean that the books you get pulled from bookshelves today remain pulled in the future.
Mm.
But if you don't disciple your children, then you can pull all the books you want from bookshelves today. That just means in a few generations, they'll be right back up there because we don't have the people to maintain that collective outrage.
Wow. Yeah.
Now just think about that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Discipleship is the long game.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I think that's the title of this podcast.
All right.
Discipleship is the long game. You're a wise man. When we resist those cultural trends that rival the truth, we remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing.
God bless.